God bless you and welcome to Supernatural End Times. And today I have a very special guest with us. His name is Brother Steve Kong, and he is going to share a powerful health testimony that I think everybody is going to be blessed by. So without further ado, I will let Brother Steve introduce himself and then begin his testimony. Brother Steve, welcome to the show.
¿Cómo estás? Thank you. Jesús es el Señor. My name is Steve Kang. I work as an evangelist and a church planter and a pastor now. And I'm just so blessed to be here and to see God use technology for His glory. Yes, I was born in a Buddhist home. And I was not just a nominal Buddhist. I was a Buddhist who was really into the tenets, the principles, and everything that was in the religion as a result of both of my grandparents. On my mother and father's side, grandma's especially, being very fervent for Buddhism. So as a result, I went to the temples from the age of 6. You know, from a young age, I had questions like, you know, why is there suffering in this world? Why is there inequality? Why is there rich people, poor people? How come life is not fair? And these are questions I asked from a young age. And, you know, what happens when we die? And I think that that was just God's grace. But, you know, I was obviously in the wrong faith. So as a Buddhist, I remember going to the temples and, you know, praying, 6 to 8 hours a day, you know, waking up almost every day in the mornings in high school to hit the wooden thing. And they teach how to do mantras and to really try to, you know, get your sins forgiven through that kind of a prayer. So I kept praying to achieve eternal life. And not once did Buddha, you know, speak to me or talk to me though, even though I did have some spiritual experiences, but I don't remember having a time where he spoke to me like our God speaks. So, yeah, I was like one of the few Koreans, even in my international high school, that was non-Christian. But I did see Christians who were hypocrites, but I said, you know what? If Christianity doesn't have power, I'm going to stay as a Buddhist and be loyal. So I moved to America and remained as a Buddhist, even in middle school and high school, moved back to Korea, got into it even more. And then when I was 18 years old, I moved here to California, where I currently reside. And I became a student in a very good school and had my whole life planned out. And if you want to make God laugh, they say, tell them your life plans, right? So I was on my way to become an attorney. I was trying to pass the LSAT and bar and had my whole life planned out. But at the age of 19, my dad had a financial crisis. The whole nation of South Korea did, actually, called the IMF financial crisis, where he didn't go from rags to riches. He went from riches to rags, and I had nowhere to stay. So I ended up staying at my friend's house, where I was getting high every day, hanging out with the wrong friends. And I remember, it wasn't even out of like a desire for drugs. I was just trying to fit in, get high. And this one time, and near the end of the summer of 1998, my sophomore year, about to start in college, I smoked what's called a death bowl, where it's laced. It looks like regular marijuana, but it's laced with cocaine and PCP and other drugs. And as a result, I stayed up for a whole 240 hours. For 10 straight days, I stayed up and ended up not even having 1 second of sleep. And I started feeling very empty, very confused. I had a lot of brain damage. I remember even in our house, there was like poltergeist activity, like cups falling. I looked at myself in the mirror after 4 or 5 days. I had no idea what time it was, who I was, where I was going. I had no sense of well-being at all. It's something I hope nobody experiences, but it's what it's due to you. So I was I'm praying even more to Buddha. I called a temple to ask for help, all these spiritual mentors I had, and they gave me the worst answer possible, which was they were doing a silent prayer and they could not answer any of my questions. So I was even more despair. My mom and my brother, we ended up praying even more to Buddha. And we had a little poster that we bought for thousands of dollars that was supposed to bring good energy to the house. But obviously, I think it was a portal to demons. It started like snapping, and we're talking about a piece of paper making metallic noises. And it was the most scary time of my life as a Buddhist. And around the ninth day, the grandpa came to me and said, "Hey, it's time to go. You're suffering." And he said, "If you give your life to me and kill yourself and offer your life as a sacrifice, I'll give you 50,000 less years of hell." And like, it's the first time he speaks to me, and it's about death, right? Satan comes to steal, to destroy, but Jesus came to give us life to the fullest. So praise God for that. our Lord and Savior Jesus. But back then I didn't know Jesus. I went to the kitchen. I wrote a letter to my mom saying, "Mom, I tried my best. I prayed hard to Buddha, you know, but I'm going to meet you in the afterworld because, you know, the Buddha God is asking me to die." And he didn't come to me with pitchforks and horns and looking like an evil spirit. He actually came to me looking like a regular person, but an Asian grandpa with a long beard. And maybe that was my expected vision of what God looks like, because I didn't know Jesus back then. And he's speaking to me like I'm speaking to you now. And I think it was a very bad drug trip, but I know it was the devil. So I went to the kitchen and I grabbed the biggest knife I could find. And on the 10th day, and I got on my knees. It was the morning after I wrote the letter. And my mom saw what's happening. And I was on my knees with the knife to cut my neck and my stomach. And you know, the scars are everywhere. They're still visible, and I share this testimony in all the churches and places I go to share the testimony, and the scars are visible, and everybody knows, and yeah, so here I am on my knees, and it looked very painful, like this is going to hurt a lot, so I didn't know where to begin. All I knew was my mind is gone, I have to do this, because the pain I was feeling, the insomnia, I lost my mind. I think my soul literally cracked, or my spirit broke. And I had my knife pointed on my stomach, and my mom walks in and she sees what's happening. So she calls 911, and I currently live again. I lived back in the 1990 in the city of Irvine, and we have a lot of cops, very fast response, 911. So a handful of cops came in, I think four or five, can't remember the exact number, but they rushed in and they said, "Put the knife down." And the Asian grandpa said, "It's now or never." So I went for the neck first, and it hurt a lot. And then I cut my stomach open and I stabbed myself multiple times, all to go to heaven. And the cops jumped on me and they were macing me and hitting me with a bat. And eventually I lost the grip of the knife, and I lost so much blood that the blood, the entire living room was just red. There was not a part that was not red. It was so much blood. I remember losing the knife and getting put on a stretcher, and I'm getting carried out on the stretcher. And I'm losing consciousness. I'm going in and out of consciousness, and I'm losing just my lifeline. And I'm getting carried over to the UCI Medical Center in this 911 ambulance, and I start having out-of-body experiences, OBEs they're called, and I had an ND, which is a near-death experience. So my spirit was going in and out of my body, and as it was leaving, it did not go up. It actually went down, and it was like the worst feeling ever. It felt like I was in an elevator, a roller coaster that just kept sinking, but never arose. It was just sinking and sinking for, I think, at least a good 5 minutes. And boom, when I landed, I was, you know, unconscious here on earth, but I was alive, very alive, in what I know is now is the biblical hell. And in this place, the emotional, spiritual, physical pain that I felt on earth was magnified by at least 10 times, like 100-fold. The physical, emotional, spiritual, mental pain that a human soul experiences in hell, because there's not even 1% of God in hell. You know, there's at least common grace here on earth where God blesses like even the wicked and the righteous, it says in the Bible. But in hell, there is not even an inkling of God. So in this place, I landed and I looked around and I was not alone. There was evil spirits everywhere, and they were not little, they were huge. And I was not alone in this place called hell. And by the way, you guys have to understand that I don't even believe in hell. I did not believe in hell as a Buddhist, because in Buddhism, there is no eternal hell. There's reincarnation. You keep trying. There's no end. There's no beginning or end, which doesn't make sense. But anyways, here I am in a place I don't even believe in. And in Buddhism, there's no concept of original sin. And I was sitting there knowing that I was a sinner for the first time in my life. I supernaturally knew that I was a sinner for the first time in my life. And not only that, I knew that I would never get out of this place, that this place is eternal, that I will be here for the rest of my life, or whatever, billions of years, no end. And there was demons torturing people, and there's no sun there. It was very dark. I clearly remember the cliffs, the rocky places. There's no sand even. It's just rocks. There's no plants. There's no a sense of hope. And I was not alone in this place. There were souls going to my left, to my right, behind me, in front of me. Endless sea of people, and I knew we were all there being punished forever. And so there was my encounter with hell and the afterlife. But and it's something that no human being should experience, I believe. I believe hell was made for the devil. And I never read the Bible, But afterwards, when I came out and I read the Bible, I was like, that's exactly the place that I was in. And then thank God for my mom, though, because she called her only Christian friend that she had at the time, which was the mother of the friend that I did drugs with back then. It's kind of funny because she was praying that I would get saved and preach the gospel to him and his friends. And so she called Mrs. Kim, and she came over, and she called all these pastors and missionaries at a church called Grace Ministries International, where I got saved and baptized, and later became a youth pastor. It's a big church. They baptized 1 million people and planted 10,000 churches. I'm talking about one church. This is one local church where they commissioned. It became a denomination, a movement, sent out 500 missionaries. But thank God that God sent his servants. And they came, about 8 of them, and they came and interceded for me at the UCI Medical Center. And the doctor said it was a miracle. They did two surgeries of retying my blood vessels, and he came at the right time. He said it was a miracle. I came back, and the surgery was successful because my blood pressure kept dropping, and my heart rate kept dropping, and they thought I was going to die. But that's the power of prayer. And like, unlike the Buddhists who didn't even talk to me, Christians that didn't even know me, you know, it says in the Bible, they will know me by your love. They came in love. Out of their love for me, they came and they prayed for me until the surgery was done. It was not a short surgery. And 8 hours later, I opened my eyes after, losing consciousness. And I had all these tubes and staples over me, Brother Jose. And I woke up, and the first thing I remember is before I woke up, I did not see Jesus at the time, but I remember the Lord speaking to me. He said, no more drugs, no more Buddhism, and I love you. And I was like, wow, that's not the voice of the grandpa, and that's a voice I've never heard in my life because God never spoke to me until then. So that was my introduction to Christianity. And when I opened my eyes, the pastors and the prayer warriors that were filling this room and filled with the Holy Spirit said, hey, do you want to accept Jesus? And I said, yeah, after what I saw just now, I do want to accept Christ. So I said the sinner's prayer not once or twice or 3 times, but I said the sinner's prayer 10 times that day on September of 1998. And here I am sitting before you now, Brother Sway. And I've been sober for longer than 25 years. So glory to God.
Amen. What a powerful testimony.
Amen.
Yes, it just goes to show you that the power of prayer, like you said, and that is how we can show our love towards others by praying for them, by interceding for them, by fasting for them. Amen.
Amen.
And that's also what drove me to also start something kind of similar where I'm doing a fasting prayer chain throughout 2024.
Wow.
For anybody who's watching, I always mention this in my videos because that's so important to me. I would love for as many people as possible to join this fasting and prayer chain, to join us where we'll be praying and fasting every day throughout this whole year for all the prayer requests that people present this ministry. I'll be praying and fasting every day with the help of God. But others who want to join can fast 1 or 2 days each week or 1 or 2 days each month, whatever they can do. We'll be praying and fasting for all the prayer requests that people send to this ministry. So write down your petitions in the comments of my videos. God has already answered many of them, such as healing, deliverance, and miracles, and I know He's going to keep answering many more. I'll leave more information about the fasting chain in the comments, as well as a link to the playlist, which has all the previous interviews I've published. Because there's so much power that gets unleashed. Least in the spiritual realm when we use those spiritual tools, praying, fasting, the word of God. Amen. And we're actually called in the Bible to pray for one another. There's actually one verse where it says it could be a sin for me not to pray for the brothers. We have to pray for each other. And look what it did for you. It was able to get you that miracle of healing so that you could come back to life and God could guide those doctors' hands as they operated on your neck. Yeah, if they hadn't been praying for you, who knows what could have happened. But by the grace of God, He sent those men, those prayer warriors to lift you up. And we're so glad that they did because we have you here today. And God is using you today to preach the gospel all over the world and show others that we do serve a mighty God, a powerful God. And I was wondering, after you came back, when you shared your testimony, which is pretty shocking, with your friends and family, how did they react?
Yeah, so, it was extreme reactions, but my mom, who heard the story, walked through it, became a Christian right away, and she got baptized in the Holy Spirit, lit up, and left Buddhism as quickly as a snap. Same with me. My brother took like a few days. He was trying to hide his little Buddhist statues in this drawer, and we found it, and he's like, you know what? I think your story is correct. So he dumped that. My ex-girlfriend, who I was dating at the time, was like, why do you keep changing religion? And I said, hey, this is like one leads to hell, one leads to heaven. So she started coming to church with me. And wherever I went, my old BC Day friends, non-Christian friends, were like, Steve, you're a Christian now. We heard your story. We actually believe it. So you shouldn't party with us anymore. So they were like kicking me out of the party because I backslid, I'll be honest with you, for a whole year. For 9 months, I try to go back to the partying scene because even though I saw hell, I read somewhere in the Bible that God is merciful. You know, I was not taught that God desires holiness, but, you know, I was taught that later. So for 9 months, I was backsliding. I was going back to the parties, but I kept getting to car accidents, and I got the message. So my cousins were like, oh, my gosh, like, what happened to you? Because some of them were Buddhists, and they stopped talking to me. My Catholic cousins are like, hey, we liked you better when you're a Buddhist. And I was like, no, Jesus is on you. And they're like, how do you know this? I shared my testimony everywhere I went, friends, family. I lost some friends. But the good thing is I gained a whole new family in church where people were discipling me, visiting me, and showing me how to walk with God. And then I had an encounter with heaven. I don't know if you want me to share that right now. But
yes, I would love to hear that encounter you had in heaven.
Yeah, so I think around the time when I was partying like crazy, because I became even more bold after meeting God, I was like, man, God's with me. I can party like never before. I kept getting into car accidents week after week, and I think the Lord was like, you're done. Because around May, June of the year 1999, which is a year, 9 months after, I had an encounter with the Lord at the peak of my backsliding days, and God said, it's time. And I had an encounter with heaven where, because I was still traumatized, Brother Josue, you know, by seeing hell, I was not healthy, but a little bit healthier, but seeing hell really traumatized me. And I was always shocked, and the wounds I had was not completely healed. So seeing heaven really healed me. And it was just like the Bible says, I saw God as a ball of light, just like Paul saw, unapproachable, glorious, and angels were worshiping him. Singing, and they're like singing like, oh, and they're worshiping God. And I knew it was angels because no human being can sing that beautiful. There's no choir that beautiful, that heavenly, like the ones I heard. And this light spoke to me. And, you know, I haven't had too many audible, visible encounters with God. But when I do, he speaks to me very clearly through the scriptures. And he said, Jesus is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. And listen to him, and listen to him. And later I found out it was in the Bible. Because after meeting God, I was devouring the Word after this incident. I read it more than 80 plus times by the grace of God. Got my Master's of Divinity degree. Got ordained as a pastor. And it was like this fast track God had me on to rewire my mind with the Word of God, to renew my mind. And I saw heaven coming down, like it says in Revelation 21:22, as a golden city, prepared as a bride, 1,400 miles, 15,000 stadia, I think, in the Bible it says something like that. And it's like the distance from, Fort Worth, Texas to New York City. And it was a golden city made of transparent gold coming from heaven, the New Jerusalem. And the peace that I felt when the Father came down and the heavenly Jerusalem came down was like, this is where I belong. This is why I was created, to live and breathe in God's presence, in the kingdom of God, and just his eternal glory. And it changed me. It changed me to not like to be perfect, but to become addicted to God, to see and taste that the Lord is good, and to tell people, this is where we all got to go, guys. Let's go to heaven. Yeah.
Amen. Well, I'm so glad you were able to experience all these things and that you were able to find God and that he's been able to use you all this time. And you've been a pastor for how long now?
Oh, yeah. I became a pastor in 2004 and I got ordained in 2008.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe like 16 years. But, you know, every Christian is a priest now. I'm learning that. Yeah. The titles don't mean much in heaven. And if you have a title, you're twice as accountable, says in the Bible. Very scary. So, yeah, we get judged twice as strictly. So I feel like the Lord is serious about his house and his business. He's cleaning house. It says judgment begins in the house of the Lord and then the rest of the world. So, yeah, I wish, because I made a lot of mistakes after as well, every mistake in the ministry book. and I wish somebody taught me earlier, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But But after I, you know, after 10 years of ministry, of just unceasing ministry, Brother Josue, I burned out and got sick again and almost died again. Lost 30 pounds and just lost everything. And then the Lord visited me for the second time and, you know, and reminded me that it is about surrenders. Because I was striving, you know, I was very religious. Like the Buddhist trait kind of carried over, like sort of like Judaism into Peter's life. And I was very legalistic in some ways. I was righteous because I obeyed, right? Because I prayed more than others. I felt guilty even opening the fridge. I couldn't take Advil because a pastor in a Pentecostal church told me that it's a devil, right? Not Advil. So I didn't take any medicine. I was like, just so filled with like discipline, but no love. And I was burning out as I was giving and giving. And in 2013, end of the year, brother, the Lord visited me again, cleansed me and healed me supernaturally and said, you've been kind of doing it your way, Steve, and I let you, but are you ready to do it my way, which is surrender? So life, God gave me another chance. And now I have so much joy walking with him in a life of surrender. And he guides the path, just like it says in the Bible. Those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. And that's what we are, Brother Josue. He's leading us and guiding us. And we can never burn out. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Yeah, it's important to know that we have to surrender to the Lord and just be guided by him. And sometimes, you know, men can give us some good pieces of advice, but God is the one that gives us the best.
Yes, that's a good word, yes.
Well, thank you so much, brother, for allowing us to share your testimony here on this channel. I know it's going to be a blessing to others. And if this was a blessing to you, I ask you that you please give it a thumbs up and you share it with somebody, because I think that God is going to use this to speak to a lot of lives, to a lot of souls who maybe were going through some of the same things that Pastor Steve Kang was going through. So I invite everybody to share, like, and subscribe. But subscribe and choose all so you won't miss any videos. Such as this video. It's about a sister who saw her classmate in hell after he passed away. Tragically, he was only 15. And I'll be releasing my own testimony very soon, in which I decided to fast and pray every day for 1 year for God to end my life, because I was tired of struggling with attractions to men, depression, and an addiction to adult videos. But during that year, God began to visit me. He delivered me, and he gave me countless supernatural experiences. I'll put a playlist of all previous testimonies in the comment section and description. There, I will also put a link to my new prayer channel, where I'll be praying live with you on certain nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, we're going to link the information to Brother Kang in the description. If you want to pray for all the viewers who are going to be watching this video, we can end it like that.
Yes, this channel, the Lord raised up this channel in the last days to save many people in the Spanish and English speaking languages.
Yes.
And I believe millions of people will get closer to God through Supernatural End Times channel in both languages. And what an honor, you know, to be used by God. So yes, I'll pray. So Father God, thank you. Thank you, God, for this holy time. This time I'm filled in with your presence where there's a fullness of joy. And I pray for all the brothers and sisters in Christ, our eternal family, whom we will see, you know, one day, that you will fill them, that you will be glorified in their lives, every hour, every aspect, their past, present, future. Use it for your glory, God. Fill their hearts with so much love in Christ Jesus. And I feel the anointing over this channel, God, from all the prayers and fasting chain. It's a very special place. I pray, God, that you will pour out your spirit and activate and use all the believers to save souls, to tell the whole world that heaven and hell is real, and that by the name of Jesus, and only by the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our everything, we can go forward and we can go to heaven and be reconciled to God. So thank you, Lord, for your kingdom coming. Thank you for giving us the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for just blessing everyone listening. And if there's a seeker here, we pray that Jesus, you'll encounter them powerfully and they can be born again by the Spirit, by the power of the gospel, God. For we are so grateful for the gospel and grateful to be your sons and daughters, Lord. We thank you for your blessing, Jesus. May first love be rekindled. May the fire of the Spirit burn. May we be hungry to read and grow in your word. And thank you, God, for this precious end time ministry and all the end time believers who are alive and walking with you for your glory. And in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.